We've begun here at the church a series on one another's in the scripture, some of the one another's, and we're thankful for Jason coming here last week and sharing with us another one of them. But this Sunday, I want to take a little bit of a turn from that for the time being. As elders here at the church, we've become aware of a number of situations where it's become quite clear and obvious that there is some challenging times that we're in right now. And that our challenges that we face are more than just in the physical, more than just the environment, more than just the weather. But we are actually in a real spiritual battle. And there are things happening in people's lives that can really only be explained by the work of darkness, twisting and distorting the way they think and act and respond. And so as elders, we've decided that we also want to take some time here in the course of about three messages throughout the spring here, just to take some time and look into God's Word and to see what God's Word tells us about the spiritual realm we live in, but to especially invite the Holy Spirit to quicken us and help us be aware that there is more going on than what our eyes can see. There's more going on. So to introduce this, I would like to have you think for a moment. How many of you have a cell phone? Let's see it. Okay, have you got it? Ring it out. Okay, all right. There's dozens of them in here. Now, each one of these little tools represents the fact that there are signals pulsating through this room right now. Dozens, perhaps hundreds, thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of signals that are going back and forth through this room. And I've sometimes sat and thought, wouldn't it be interesting if you could see those waves? It might be like sitting in your microwave. And as those waves are going back and forth, what would happen if we could hear those waves? If we could hear every communication, every text message, every conversation, that would be amazing. But have you ever seen one of those waves? Have you ever seen one? No. They're completely invisible to our eyes. But we know they're there. And how do we know they're there? Because we all have these little tools that we wave and catch a few of those waves in the air. And boom, they're transmitted, transferred into text messages, audio, visual. My goodness. Like I can sit down here or I can stand here right now and call up a video of my son and his wife and family in Oslo, Norway. It's amazing. I can catch those waves right here and see my granddaughters playing out on the playground in Oslo. But there's more than just the activity of the internet and cell signals and radio signals. There's also the reality that there's a spiritual realm. There is a spiritual realm around us. We can't see it with our physical eyes. And yet, God has given us a spirit by which we can be alert and aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we can also be alert and aware if we're paying attention to the reality that there are also demonic forces at work around us. So I want to just share a few thoughts this morning, and then I'll prepare several more messages as the spring goes on here, just to have us think about some of the scriptures that teach us and talk to us about this thing. As I have been meditating on it and praying for about it, one of the things that's come to me is that as a foundation for considering anything that's happening in the spiritual realm, I believe that the Word of God teaches us clearly that Christ has come to set us free. Christ has come to set us free. We all clamor for independence and for freedom. We all want the freedom to do our own thing. A few years ago, there was an advertising campaign of Freedom 55. I'm on a plan. It's called Freedom 85. But I'm hoping at some point, maybe the Lord willing, that I can be free of responsibility, free to do whatever I like. The unfortunate thing is I'm going to be too old before I get there. We all would like freedom, freedom to do our own thing, to not have to take into consideration perhaps other people, free to choose, free to do whatever I want. But the truth is, the more we give in to the things we'd like to do, the more likely we are to actually become captured by those things and become slaves of them. So take your Bibles. We're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning, but we're going to begin in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. This is a passage that the Apostle Paul wrote in which he bounces back and forth the idea of we are servants or slaves to what we obey or what we give our attention and our allegiance to. So I'm just going to read from beginning in verse 16, Romans 6 and verse 16. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you now have become slaves of righteousness. You see, true freedom is not a freedom to do what I want to do or the freedom to do what you want to do. True freedom is the freedom to do what Jesus wants us to do. That's the freedom that Christ has given us. It's the freedom to do all that he has for our lives, all that he wants us to walk in, all that he wants us to obey him and be part of his kingdom plan on this earth. True freedom is the ability to choose to follow Christ and live under his authority in every detail of life. John chapter 8, verse 36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Christ wants us to be free to follow him and not be distracted, not be deceived or manipulated to choose any path that would lead us away from him or even worse, against him. And so in our concept of this passage and this message this morning and the several more that will come, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us that there is power in the name of Jesus, there is hope in the name of Jesus, there is authority in the name of Jesus, so that we can have the freedom to follow Jesus without distraction, to obey him, to love him and serve him. That's the freedom for each one of you here this morning. He wants us to know and to experience the freedom he has given us. Now, the unseen realm is influencing us all the time. The truth is, we aren't often aware of it. We're not in tune with it. And yet, oftentimes, it influences us and affects us even beyond our knowing and awareness of it. But sometimes as we think about the reality of the spiritual realm around us, we're filled with perhaps some conflicting thoughts and some ideas about it. There would be some who would want to deny the reality of the spiritual realm. We live in a purely material, physical universe. Anything that's real is what you can touch and feel with your five senses. And if it's not addressable by that, then it's not real. And that there are really no spiritual entities or influences in our lives other than perhaps the myths of spooks and goblins and that kind of thing. Our Western intellect and mindset certainly has overruled the haunted and enchanted stories of past civilizations. We feel like we've matured beyond any of that, and so therefore we don't need to pay that much attention to it. So one of the first responses would be that of a denial. But here's the challenge for us as Christ followers. We really can't say we believe in God and believe in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and then deny that there's any further spiritual realm around us. For if we are truly Christ followers, we've got to be aware there is a counter to that. There is an anti-Christ spirit and followers around us. It's real. And so we've got to grapple with it and learn to grow in it and be aware in it. Now, there's a completely opposite trend. There's an overemphasis of these things. We could become so demon conscious that we attach a demonic presence to every little blip on the screen, every little act, every little thing. Oh, there's a demon in it. There's a demon in my car. There's a demon in my garden. It's got to be. Thistles have to be demonic. You see, you can just go overboard on this as well. But no, we do believe in the spiritual realm, but we keep our faith focused on Jesus Christ. He is the one that keeps us in the center of our vision. He alone is the one who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and powerful. There could be the attitude and response of fear. I really don't want to learn about this because it's scary. It's scary. And certainly the media and movies and so on have given us all kinds of images and pictures of the demonic realm that seem like, oh, this is way bigger than what I want to know about, so therefore I'd rather not know about it. But the truth is, there's no need to fear. There's no need to fear. For Christ Jesus has redeemed us by his blood. We have authority in the name of Christ. We have far more authority and influence in the spiritual realm than what we usually exercise as followers of Jesus Christ. So therefore, I believe one of the best approaches to take is that of watchfulness, wisdom, and boldness in the Lord. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers. He has given us authority to deal with sin, to repent of sin, and to resist the devil. We are to be sober and vigilant, resisting the devil and drawing near to God. So I'd like to look at a few scripture passages. When we think about the spiritual realm, one of the illustrations that the Bible gives us is the contrast between light and darkness. Light and darkness, referring to the pathway in which we can travel in our life, whether we are in a path that leads into greater darkness or a path that leads into greater light. Have you ever found yourself on a wooded path on a very dark night without a flashlight? Of course, nowadays we pull out our cell phones. We can use that for a little bit until the battery dies. But there was a time when people didn't carry cell phones. And they didn't have a light that they could use. And if you found yourself on a very dark night on a wooded path, there's all kinds of things that can happen. Has anybody experienced that? Pitch black, dark night, wooded path. What are some of the emotions you go through? Scared? Yeah, scared. Yeah, am I going to get eaten? Yeah. You can get lost, get easily confused. Yeah. Come on. Is something watching me? Yeah. The thing I find when I'm on a wooded path in a dark night is I keep tripping over things. Thump, bang, bump, thump, thump, yeah. We easily can stumble when we're on a path in the dark. As I was considering this, I remember one little experience. Years ago, growing up at home, we had to move some cattle and from one farm to the next, a couple miles distant. And Dad decided to do it. It was in the spring. Dad decided to do it after supper one evening. So we got the horses and got the cows round up. But things didn't go as smooth as they could have. What could go wrong? It did. We wound up spending way longer moving those cattle, those couple miles, than what we anticipated. So by the time we got them to the other place where they were supposed to be and got them all locked away, it was turning dark. And it was one of those nights when there was no light whatsoever. And we just basically got turned around and headed home. And it just got black, black, black. And I was riding a black horse to boot. So there was absolutely no visual cue of where we were at, except I knew we were going down the road. I couldn't even see the horse I was on, but I could feel its motion. And at first I was a little scared, like, ooh. But then I began to realize, wait a minute, this horse spends every night in the dark. This horse is not scared of the dark. And we're with two or three others, and we're heading home. What do all horses do when you turn them toward home? They go for it. And so in the pitch dark, we were just trotting down the road, tung, 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 and all I had to do was sit on the horse. The horse was going to get us home. You know what, friends in Christ? I believe that God wants to give us a sense that He knows the way home. And even if we find ourselves in situations of darkness, all we got to do is let the Lord take the lead. He will get us home. Darkness and light. Proverbs chapter 4:18. Here's a few scriptures. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now, there are many things that we could stumble over or be snared by when we are walking in the dark. But Scripture encourages us that there is a path that we can walk on in following the Lord that actually is a shining path, like the shining sun. That path is for the honors the Lord. I started off our service this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Thanks be to God the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, as I read that verse, I realized, okay, this isn't just talking about darkness or a dark path. The apostle in this letter to the Colossians adds the idea that there is a power of darkness. A power of darkness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul wrote, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Christ." So, when we're thinking darkness, we're thinking power of darkness, understanding being darkened. Where does this darkness come from? 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Christ has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. John 1, verse 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we realize that when the Scripture has illustrations of light and darkness, we're talking way more than just the absence of the sun or the moon or the stars. We're talking about a darkness that has power, a darkness that can confuse our understanding, and a darkness that we can be called out of. We are living, I believe, in the last days. It certainly are my last days. They're your last days. But as we see Scripture being fulfilled, we must be aware that, okay, this could be the approach to the return of the Lord. But we know that in the last days, there is going to be greater and greater conflict. I shared a message a few weeks back, or a few months back, a series of messages, that when the culture dethrones God, that then that creates a vacuum that is easily filled by anything else than God, by an antichrist spirit, or ancient gods or idols that have been worshipped in the past that want to come and take the place of God. I don't want to repeat those messages, but we talked about the ancient gods of Baal, the possessor, the ancient goddesses of Ashtaroth and similar names, the temptress, the seducer, and the ancient idol god of Molech, the destroyer. But even as individuals, we can reject the knowledge of God or ignore His presence. And as a result, in ignorance or rebellion, we can pursue the wrong or opposing spiritual realm and practices. And then we should not be surprised by the evidence of a demonic work in lives if we have rejected the knowledge of God and instead served darkness. Even as believers of Jesus Christ, if we still cling to sin or unrighteous thoughts or actions, we could even still be leaving our hearts and lives open, our minds open, to an influence that we hadn't really planned for. But the truth is, Jesus has come to set us free if we'll follow him and serve him. I want to share a passage with you that's very common. Many of you know it. For we are given insight into the actions or the fruit that indicates spiritual activity. For instance, I could share with you this list of actions and attitudes. You tell me what spiritual source they're from. You ready? If we observe love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, what's influencing that? The Holy Spirit. Clearly, Galatians chapter 5 says that that is the fruit of the Spirit. It's God's Spirit at work in us, and out of us comes the evidence of His Spirit through love, joy, peace, all of those things. Now, just a couple of verses before that, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Galatians, gave another list. It's a list that includes things like adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, and revelries. What spirit would you suggest could be influencing that? Satan and the demons of hell. Although Paul says in this passage that they are the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, and so on. But even in that list, he includes the word sorcery. Sorcery. So this is more than just our fleshly actions. The word there in Galatians chapter 5 for sorcery is pharmakia. Pharmakia. And you know what English word we get from that? Pharmacy. Pharmacy. Now, I don't believe Rexall Drug Mart is a really dangerous place. But I think what the Apostle Paul is getting at here is that when you start delving into mind-altering drugs, mind-altering things that cause us to be open to the spiritual realm, that can lead to sorcery, a using of the spiritual realm for one's advantage. All these actions and attitudes are an indication, though, of a sin nature, a flesh nature in control. But they could also be attitudes and actions associated with a dark realm that we have already read about here in Scripture. The Apostle Paul addresses these realms in many ways. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 3, he says that we've been made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 3 says, among whom you also once conducted yourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So obviously, there's fleshly actions and attitudes that can control us. But you can't skip verse 2 that leads up to this, where Paul says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. There is this connection between the works of the flesh and the prince of the power of the air, which we understand to be Satan, who wants to take our sin nature and then produce in it the fruit of what Galatians chapter 5 tells us. There are influences that want to lead us away from the freedom we have to obey Christ and to follow him in every area of our lives. Now, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the passage in which Paul then writes, talking about the last days and what we can expect in it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Again, this list is all acts of the sin nature. But could they also be acts that are inspired and motivated by the demonic realm? Most certainly. Most certainly they are things that were being influenced to turn away from the Lord. But here's an interesting thing I want to share with you. Verse 1, he says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." The word perilous is a Greek word Paul uses. It's kalepos. And it basically means difficult or dangerous. It's used one other place in the New Testament. So keep your spot there in Timothy. Turn back to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus has just given the Sermon on the Mount and taught his disciples in Matthews 5, 6, and 7, the real manifesto of the kingdom of God. And then in chapter 8, they come down off the mountain, and they begin to interact with people. And when you get to Matthew chapter 8, at the end of that chapter, verse 28, it says, "And when Jesus had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way." The word fierce in this verse, these two demon-possessed men, exceedingly fierce, is the same Greek word as perilous in 2 Timothy chapter 3. These men were a menace to their community. They were uncontrollable, they were obstructing, they were dangerous so that no one could pass by. They were perilous to their community. Now, We see this as an explanation, this word here. They were exceedingly fierce. Now, 2 Timothy 3, "In the last days, perilous times will come." Fierce times. Now, we're not necessarily making the connection there that word fierce is always going to be a demonically oriented word. But we know from Scripture clearly, Paul says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So this exceedingly fierce, perilous times, I believe, is an encouragement and endorsement for us as believers to keep our eyes open. Don't be deceived. Keep your eyes open. Be alert to the things that are around you. And most of all, pursue the freedom that Christ has purchased for us. I want to conclude with a few last thoughts in this introductory message. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 13, it says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Friends, even though there is a spiritual realm around us, one in which the Holy Spirit, the omnipotent, all-powerful, all-present Spirit of God with the angelic realm is influencing, guiding, and leading. And even though there is Satan, who is just a created being, and his demonic realm trying to influence and stir up trouble and cause people to move away from the fear of the Lord and freedom in Christ, we have been given the Word of God as a clear instruction book of how to understand and follow Christ and be discerning of what is going on around us. We are encouraged to stay rooted in the Word of God, rooted in the truth that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, we know that we have been given good seed to stir or to sow into our lives, which is the Word of God. And whatever a person sows, that they will also reap. I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage each one of us here, to continue to sow the seed of the Word of God as we walk in the light, as He is in the light. And as we take our place of authority and responsibility before the Lord to stand strong in Christ, to resist the devil, and to draw near to God, we will have victory then as we move ahead. Paul encourages Timothy to continue in these truths. These truths have been given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and are profitable for holy living, effective service, and deliverance in these perilous and fierce times that are to come. I believe that the mind and the soul trained in the Word of God will be able to discern and sort through the many voices that want to bombard us, even the ones that we're not fully aware of. If we walk in the light as He is in the light and let the Word of God shine in our hearts, that Word will sort and discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart and will help us understand where we stand. We commit ourselves and our children to the Lord to stand true in Christ. So, with that being said, one of the aspects of freedom that Christ gives us, freedom to listen to the Holy Spirit, follow the Spirit, freedom to be able to discern negative and dark influences in our life so that we can repent of them and renounce them. I believe that one of the things that's important in our lives then is what we dedicate ourselves to, what we commit ourselves to. Because a commitment is a way of closing one door and opening another. It's how we say, this is what I'm open to, and this is what I'm closed to. I want to be open to the Holy Spirit and to His Word. And I want to close the door to darkness and to lies. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How are you doing with opening and closing those doors? I want to encourage you that every day, through your actions and your attitudes, you can be opening doors to the Lord and closing doors to the darkness. And mums and dads, for those of you who have young children or even still any age children in your home, you have responsibility to open and close doors in your home. You have the responsibility to lead, teach, and guide your children so that they can remain open to the Holy Spirit, and closed to the works of darkness. So, here at the chapel, we feel it's important to really return to a practice here of dedicating our children to the Lord. Next Sunday, here on Mother's Day, we want to take time, if you have children, young children, newborns in your home, and you have not dedicated them to the Lord, we'd like to invite you to join with us, with your children, so that we can pray a prayer of dedication over your son, over your daughter. We can pray a prayer of dedication over you as parents. And we can pray a prayer of dedication as the saints together, the family of God, to do our part to encourage you to raise your children in the ways of the Lord. So if you have not had your children dedicated and you would like to publicly open some doors and close some doors, we would like to join with you in prayer. This is more than just a tradition or some little religious activity we do. I believe that especially when we stand together in agreement as the body of Christ, there are significant things that will happen in the spiritual realm. We are experiencing a taste of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts here, folks. And we want to continue to be more and more open to that in our hearts and lives. We want to walk in the Lord. Secondly, if anyone here this morning, if you feel like you are struggling with negative influences in your life that seem to be controlling you at times, you can't break free, thoughts, attitudes, actions that you know you don't want to practice, but they just keep coming at you, we would like to talk with you and pray with you. We can be and will be set free from the demonic realm. It's not a difficult thing. We turn from sin. We turn to God. We renounce any agreement with the forces of darkness so that we can walk in the freedom that Christ has given us. And then lastly this morning, I don't know every one of you here this morning, but I would encourage you, have you given your life to Jesus? Have you surrendered to Christ? Have you opened your heart, your door, the store of your spirit and your soul wide to Jesus and surrendered to his authority in your life? He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light. And when we follow Christ and submit to him, we can walk in the light. And the path of the just then will grow brighter and brighter until the day the Lord takes us home. It's your choice. God gives you the freedom. God gives you the liberty to choose as you would. But be assured that God is not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If we are not sowing and opening our hearts every day to the truth and life we have in Christ, we could be then sowing things of darkness that will bring a harvest of deep pain, deep sorrow, and destruction in our lives. Please be open to the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you and lead you. Now, this is just an introduction to some of the things I want to share in the next few messages or throughout the spring here. But may our hearts be open to the reality that we're living in a spiritual realm, that there is righteousness and unrighteousness, God, the Holy Spirit, Christ active, but also the demonic realm and Satan. And that our hearts and lives are much like the cell phones we carry. It's what are we tuning into? What are we opening up to? Are we opening up to the reality of Christ and his Spirit? Or are we open to the influence of darkness? I believe God wants to set us free. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that even though we sit here in this physical space, Lord, in this physical room, Lord, with people around us, we also know that, Lord, we are way more than just flesh and blood, but we are spirit, soul, and body. And that, Father God, you have come that we might be, Lord God, brought into the light of relationship with you, of walking with you, of having freedom to make choices and decisions according to your good pleasure and your will for our lives. Now, Father, may you take these simple thoughts and these scriptures and let them reverberate in our hearts and in our minds in the days to come. Let us, Lord, be wise, discerning, aware of the realms that we live in and that influence us. Teach us, O Lord God, to know and to practice what it means to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, and to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Teach us, O Lord God, to walk in this freedom and to share it with friends around us that there is hope and life in Christ Jesus. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.